Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you are happy? Devun Stotram. Can you say praise the Lord once again? Yes. How many of you have read your Bible today? I want to see your hands. Yentamandi Vakyamu Chadavindu. Okay. How many of you have prayed today? Praise the Lord. How many of you have prayed before coming to the church? Father, please bless our pastor and give us the spiritual nourishment so that we may grow stronger in you. You know, do this. Read your Bible every day and pray, because that is the communion with God. And unless and until we have communion with God, never we will grow strong in the Lord. How many of you say yes for this? You say yes? So please do, because I have seen few hands who read Bible and little more hands for praying, and there are some people who never prayed and who never read the Bible today. So we have three categories of people sitting here. There are three categories of people sitting here. So please, I just urge you to read your Bible and pray every day and have communion with God. Amen? Have communion with God. How many of you want to follow Jesus Christ? How many of you want to follow Jesus Christ? If you want to follow, don't half-heartedly, don't raise your hands. Praise the Lord. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, start reading your Bible and pray. Okay? Then that will train you for the journey with our Lord. Because that is ultimate goal. That is ultimate goal. Now, when you want to follow Jesus Christ, I will show you from the Bible, or I will preach you from the Bible, that how can we follow Jesus Christ in our life? And when we follow Jesus Christ, what is happening? What will happen to our life? Okay? Because usually, we like to be in our comfort zone. We like to be in our comfort zone. How many of you like comfort? How many of you like comfort? I'm not asking about the comfort in. I'm asking you, how many of you like to be comfortable in your life? Okay, only two. I am doubtful. I am very doubtful that you are lying. Because everybody needs to live in comfort. If we don't want to live in comfort, India lo patta mancha settle ayipothundi. No doubt about it. Inta duram raakapothundi. Ippudu inta duram vachin tarvata India ki povamante poru. Endukante ikkada comforts ki alavata paddam manam. Kada? నువ్వు సిటిజన్ కాకుండా కానీ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఎ సిటిజన్ బట్ స్టిల్ యూ విల్ నాట్ గో టు ఇండియా బ్యాక్. ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ హియర్ ఫర్ 2 years, యు ఆర్ యూస్ టు దిస్ లైఫ్ అండ్ యూ వాంట్ టు సెటిల్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ దిస్ కంట్రీ. దట్స్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ నేచర్. హ్యూమన్ నేచర్ ఆల్వేస్ వాంట్స్ గుడ్ థింగ్స్, కంఫర్ట్. బట్ వెన్ యూ వాంట్ టు ఫాలో జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్ ఇన్ యువర్ లైఫ్, దిస్ కంఫర్ట్ జోన్ విల్ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ యువర్ లైఫ్. The comfort zone will not exist in your life. You know, let us see. When Jesus started his ministry, he wanted to train people. And he said, if I have 12 people with me, I will train them. And that's what Jesus did. And he has chosen 12 disciples. When he has chosen 12 disciples, he has particularly used a phrase. He has particularly used a phrase, and using that phrase, he has called his disciples to be with him. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I am reading from verse 14. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. After John was put in prison, John the Baptist, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. The meaning of repent is change. The meaning of repent is change. So what it says is, the time has come near, change your thinking, your behavior, and repent for what you have done. Repent the good news, believe the good news, repent and believe the good news. And Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishers' men. They were fishers' men. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen, and Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little far, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brothers, John, in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God add his blessings to the reading of this scripture. Now here, you will have some idea. You will have some idea that when God calls us, there is a mission in our life. Now when God calls you and me, there is a mission in our life. And that's the reason, you know, Paul explains to us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. రోమీలకు రాసిన పత్రిక మొదటి అధ్యాయము మొదటి వచనం, రోమన్స్ చాప్టర్ 1 అండ్ వర్స్ 1. హి సేస్, పాల్ ఎ సర్వెంట్ ఆఫ్ క్రైస్ట్ జీసస్, పాల్ ఎ సర్వెంట్ ఆఫ్ జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్, కాల్డ్ టు బి ఎన్ అపోస్టల్ సెపరేటెడ్ ఇన్ టు ద గాస్పల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. నౌ పాల్ ఇస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ టు అస్, పాల్ ఇస్ ఆల్రెడీ ఇన్ ద ఫీల్డ్. నౌ పాల్ ఇస్ ఆల్రెడీ ఇన్ ద ఫీల్డ్ అండ్ పాల్ ఇస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ టు అస్ what he is and the job what he has been given. Now here, when he says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, you know, the meaning of apostle is commissioner. The meaning of apostle is commissioner. When you see a commissioner always has a mission, and he is the head of this mission. A commissioner has a mission, and he is the head of the mission. commissioner. He says, I am the commissioner of Christ Jesus. I have the authority because that authority is given to me by Jesus himself. I possess that authority to accomplish the mission what is given to me. Furthermore, an apostle separated, in other words, when you read the Bible, this word separated is used for holy. This word is used for holy. Now separated. Now when you look into the tabernacle in the Old Testament, when you look into the tabernacle, there are some utensils in the tabernacle. These utensils are separated. They are holy. These utensils cannot be used for anything else except for the use of tabernacle. So number one, he says, I am a commissioner who has a mission with authority, and I have been separated. I have been separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have been separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is the catch. Paul, a servant. Who is Paul? Paul is a servant. Paul is a servant. He's not a master. The word servant in the Greek is doulos. Doulos means a slave. A bond slave is not by purchase, by paid, he's not a servant, but voluntarily he has given himself to become a slave to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you, what authority does a slave has? What authority does a slave has? Does a slave has any authority? No. All he has to do is to follow the instructions of his master. If he wants to eat, if he's feeling hungry, if he wants to eat, he cannot eat. If he wants to sleep, he cannot sleep because the master is awake. He cannot do anything. Therefore, he calls himself a slave. That means under the authority of his master. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, who is a commissioner with a mission, given an authority and been separated. Now, we all know the story of Paul, right? We all know the story of Paul. Who was Paul? He was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the church and he was going to Damascus. Right? He was going to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And while traveling to Damascus, God visited him. And when God visited him, he became blind man. He couldn't see anything. And he was in a house. And God speaks to Ananias, a prophet, and says, Ananias, go to so-and-so place because there is a person who is blind. And I want you to pray for him. And God says, this man's name is Paul. Ananias says, Lord, I heard about this man. This man already has an authority. And with an authority, he's coming to kill the Christians who believe in you. But the voice tells to Ananias, this man is a chosen vessel. And there he uses a phrase. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, and I'm reading from verse 15. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, I'm reading from NIV. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. The 16th verse. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. I will show him how much he has to suffer for my name. Now, the very first thing what God is telling is, I will show him, because I am bringing him out of his comfort zone. I'm bringing him out of his comfort zone. If you are in your comfort zone, my friends, you will never suffer for Christ. You always want to be very comfortable in your life. You always want to do what you want to do. You will not become the servant of God in your life. Now you will never say that I give my authority to God. You will never say that word. Or you will never say that I am the commissioner who has a mission and who has an authority to accomplish the will of God in his life. Never we will say when we are in comfort zone. But today, God is calling you. God is calling you. And God is saying, come, follow me. I will make you a fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. నన్ను వెంబడించుడి నేను మిమ్మల్ని మనుషులు పట్టు జారలుగా చేసేదను. ఐ విల్ మేక్ యూ ఫిషర్స్ ఆఫ్ మెన్. నౌ ఐ జస్ట్ వాంట్ యూ టు థింక్ దిస్ వర్స్. ఐ జస్ట్ వాంట్ యూ టు స్పెండ్ సమ్ టైమ్ హియర్. ద వెరీ ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ వాట్ ఐ వాంట్ టు ఆస్క్ యూ ఇస్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ఎ ఫిష్ అండ్ ఎ ఫిషర్ మ్యాన్. వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ఎ ఫిష్ అండ్ ఎ ఫిషర్ మ్యాన్? చేపకు మరి చేప జారలకు ఉన్నటువంటి సంబంధం ఏంటి? వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్? వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్? వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ఏ హంటర్ అండ్ అన్ యానిమల్? వాట్? వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్? ద రిలేషన్షిప్ ఈస్ ఎనిమిటీ. ద రిలేషన్షిప్ ఈస్ ఎనిమిటీ, రైట్? వెన్ యూ గో, యూ ఆస్క్ ఎనీ hunting person, when he goes for game, when he sees a deer, he's so quiet, you know, his movements are very, very quiet. He doesn't want to speak, right? When he moves also, he doesn't want to make any sound, because the moment he makes any sound, the deer will run away, because deer knows that there is an enemy waiting for me. Now Jesus is calling his disciples. Jesus is calling you and me. If you want to follow Jesus, he says that I will make you a fishers of men. What he wants to make us? Fishers of men. Where are the fish? And where are we? Where are the fish? The fish is in the world. The fish is in the world. Now we have to fish the fish. We have to fish them from the world. We have to cast our nets in the world to get people who are away from the presence of God. Who are away from the presence of God. Who are away from the presence of God. The fisherman is nothing. And that's the reason the word of God is so clear here. You said, do not love this world. Do not love this world. 1 John 4th chapter. And I'm reading from verse 4. 1 John 4th chapter, NIV. You, dear children, are from God. Dear children, you are from God. You are from God. You are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Dear children, you have overcome this world. Dear children, you were enemies of God. You were enemies of God. Dear children, you were far from the presence of God. Dear children, you were in the comfort zone of your own self. And you thought, this is my life. Woo! Good. But God says that you have come out of that. You were in the world. You were enemies of God. You know, when Jesus had come into this world, how many of you know for whom Jesus died? Yavar koraku Yesaya chanipoyindandi. For whom Jesus died? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. For if when we were God's enemies, now for whom Jesus died? Jesus died for God's enemies. When we were yet sinners, we were against God. We were yet sinners, we were against God, and we were enemies of Jesus Christ. We were enemies of God, and Jesus comes as a fisher of men, and he casts his net, and he gives his life for us so that you and I may be saved through this great fisher of men. We were enemies. And therefore, Jesus rightly says, when he has seen his disciples, he says, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That means, no more you will love this world. No more you will love this world. No more you will have a desire for this world. No more you will follow this world. No more you will be in the comfort zone. Like Paul said, no more you will be persecuting the churches, but you will be a slave of Jesus Christ. Voluntarily, you will give your authority to Jesus and you will say that, reign my life, take hold of my life. Whatever I have, it belongs to you, my God. I give myself to you. And Jesus died for the enemies of God. And therefore he says, 1 John, when you go to 1 John, once again, let's go to 1 John. Let me complete that. 1 John, 4th chapter. You dear little children, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you, when you follow Jesus Christ, when you follow Jesus Christ in your life, when you walk with Jesus in your life, God is greater than the person who is in this world. If you cannot love the world, you cannot love God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve them. You will hate one and love one. And that's the reason here John is bringing this very clearly. He says, my friends, the one who is in you, the Lord who died for you, you were yet a sinner, who died for you and rose again on the third day, and his power has been manifested by his death and resurrection. You belong to him, and that power belongs to you. So do not be conformed to this world or the worldly things, because the person who is in this world will destroy you again. That's the meaning, he says. You cannot love. You cannot love the world. Not only that, he says, whoever is in the world, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You know, let me tell you something. You may be listening to the word of God today. If you cannot make a decision in your life, God will not force you. But here, the word of God is very clear. Let me read to you once again and listen very carefully. Dear little children, children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, the people who are in the world, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. When you reject the call of God in your life, you do not have the spirit of God in you. You do not have the spirit of God in you. Because that's how we are judged.
You will not believe in the word of God. And you know, you always try to gain confidence from people and to say that I'm a good person. And you know, when you speak to a person that, you know, I have done something wrong, and that person is listening, your friend is listening. After he listens what you have done wrong, if it is wrong also, he will say, my brother, don't worry. We are all humans. You know, that weakness is there. So God knows our weakness. So don't worry, brother. This is a satanic voice. This is not a voice of God. Because your friend is encouraging you to do what you are doing. When he says that we all know, we know that we are humans, it is possible for us to fall down from the presence of God. So God knows. No. God so loved the world. He died for us to release us from these weaknesses. And once you believe in Jesus Christ, you need to overcome your weaknesses. For that reason, Christ died for us. For that reason, he has won and conquered the death. And he has gained the victory over the death. And that victory and that power has been given to us. And we cannot compromise with this world. And Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. I will give you rest. And today, I'm asking you, Jesus is calling you to follow him. Jesus is asking you to follow him. And if you want to become a fishes of men in your life, you need to hate this world and give up everything what the world has for you, because your citizenship is in heaven. You are the citizen of heaven. And all you have to look, if you have risen with Christ, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Sorry, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. If you are raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the earthly things. Amen? Amen? Now your desire must be on God. Your desire must be a spiritual hunger in your life. Your desire must be for the service of God. You must die for this world and live for God. Don't compromise. Don't compromise with the things what you like. That is satanic nature. And you cannot be ignorant and innocent. That is sin. You cannot be innocent or ignorant. That is sin. Therefore, set your eyes and set your heart on God, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He's going to come back to judge this world in righteousness. And you're going to stand. I'm going to stand in the presence of God to give our account before we could open our mouth. My friends, the moment the light of God falls on us, we will look into ourselves. Ourselves will be revealed. And if you have not accepted Jesus, there is darkness in you. And you start hating yourself. And you yourself will be running away from the presence of God. God is not going to chase you. But when you look into yourself, you yourself, like Adam, you will run away from the presence of God. Because you'll start hating yourself. The light of God reveals to us. The light of God reveals to us what we are. The light of God searches in the uttermost parts of our heart. And if you don't have the right relationship with God, we will never be able to stand in the presence of God. We will never be able to stand in the presence of God. Noah was given a mission. Noah was given a mission, and God said,
God called Noah, but before he called, the word of God says that Noah was righteous person and was blameless. Noah was blameless, righteous, and walked with God. Genesis chapter 6. This is before the floods, and God is making Noah to prepare an ark. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. This is the account of Noah. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Who was Noah? Noah was a righteous man, a man who had a right relationship with God, a man who knew the heart of God, a man who will listen to the voice of God, a man will do what God is asking him to do, a man who gave his authority to Jesus Christ, a man who gave his authority to God, a man who has submitted himself in humbleness to God. And therefore, it says the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Noah, he knew the God. Man, blameless. Blameless. That means you cannot even find a single fault in Noah. And not only that, this man walked with God. When you spend your time with your wife, when you spend with your time with your friend and walk, walking is spending time together in the Bible. When you spend time with somebody in your life, you will know that person so well, my friends. If somebody comes and asks you about that person, you'll say, I know him very well because I spend time with him. You can give witness about him, right? Noah walked with God. Noah knew the heart of God. Noah knew the heart of God. But how this happened? How could God declare Noah as a righteous person? How could he declare Noah as a righteous person? Let's read verse 8. Verse 8 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why Noah was a righteous man? Why Noah was blameless? Why Noah walked with God? Because Noah found favor of God. Noah found the grace of God. Grace of God. What is the meaning of grace of God? Undeserved favor of God. You don't deserve it, but God has poured on you because of his mercy. God has poured upon you because of his love. And that's the reason the word of God says, when God wants to pour his blessings, his mercy, his spirit upon us, God searches for the people who are worthy. God searches for the people who are worthy. The angel of the Lord came to Mary and says, blessed be Mary, because you have found favor in the eyes of God. Because God was searching you, and God has found that you are faithful to God. Therefore, God wants to pour his blessings. God wants to pour his spirit. God wants to pour his grace upon you. That's the favor of God. Now, how does this grace works in our life? When God pours his grace, that is the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God falls upon us, the Spirit of God takes control of our life and teaches us what God wants us to do for him. What God is asking us to do for him. What God is telling you and me. And how God wants to use. The plan of the God will be revealed to us. The purpose of God will be revealed to us. But before that, God searches us. When God searches us, he says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That's the grace of God. When the grace of God falls upon us, the Spirit of God will make you to love God more than anything in your life. The Spirit of God will make you to come out of your comfort zone. The Spirit of God will make you to strive for the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God brings the blessings of God in your life. God loves us. He wants to make us fishers of men. What is the relationship between a fish and a fisherman? It's enmity. Don't love this world, but love the person who is in you, because that is the strongest person whom you can have in your life. When you look to this person who is seated at the right hand of God, the victory belongs to you. You yourself, my friends, will build an ark where you can take people into this ark as Noah has taken his family. When you obey the voice of God, you will take this, your family, into this ark. When you submit yourself to God, this ark will be a protection. This ark will be a provider for you. And that ark is Jesus himself. Let's bow down our heads in prayer. You know, as we come into the presence of God, God wants you to be a fishers of men. To be a fishers of men, you need to give what you have. Let the authority of God rule in you. Let the authority of God lead you. Let the authority of God build you. And today, if you want that authority in your life, my friends, I just want you to raise your hands so that I can pray with you. I would like to pray and say that, Lord, here, these people wants to become the fishers of men. As you have called your disciples, and as they have heard your voice, as they raise your hands, Lord, please accept them to become your disciples. I want you to raise your hands if you say that, I want to be a fishers of men for Jesus. If you want to be a fishers of men for Jesus, please raise your hands up. I would like to pray for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence. We give you thanks, O Lord, for this evening. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your voice. We give you thanks for your Spirit, because your Spirit is grace, your grace, O Father, which will change our thinking, O Lord, which will make us to repent and to turn to you, O Lord, which will make us to come back to you, O Father. So we thank and praise you for your grace. Because of your grace, we have been saved, not by our deeds, but the faith which we have in you, O Lord. We thank and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who had come and died for us, O Father. This evening, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we submit ourselves to you, O Lord. And Lord, we say that, let your will be done in our lives, O Lord, because all we want is you. And let your light shine in us, O Lord. Let your word lead us, O Father, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Lead us into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, we will give you glory and honor and thanks, O Lord, for this evening, for speaking to us and, Lord, touching our hearts. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. The Lord's table is...